anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. Diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short, and the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. It is January the 8th. We're still playing college football. All right.
Back at it.
Doug and Daddy Show. Glad to have you along with us. Doug, due to Big Daddy, Tony Davis, Derek Stenson, taking care of all the producing today, as usual. The phone lines are wide open. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And something exciting, Derek, I've been informed, let's give away another Sunheat space system to the hot topic of the week here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Sure. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
As long as you're happy.
Hey, I'm always happy.
We're going to make somebody a winner. Somebody's going to take home the Slumberland package, the Schroeder Smoke food package, Tri-City Storm apparel and tickets for winning or placing in the Bowl Bash on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. I want to go back, and we'll get to Pac-Man Jones, and we'll get to a variety of other things coming up. Eric Mangini, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. But, Tony, we talked about this yesterday, how this bowl game is on the back burner. And Derek can justify, you know, he can tell you about this as well. You come in the morning, and the biggest stories of the day are right there on the Associated Press. There is not a mention of the national championship game in college football. There are five stories on this Sportsman at the lead national sports news of the morning that what makes it easy is every non-sports radio station, every place that doesn't really have a sports director, they're just going to go on, they're going to click it, they're going to print it, they're going to read the first three things, and that's going to be it, or two, or all five, depending on how much time they have to kill. LaDainian Tomlinson confirms he has tore his tendon in his groin. Cleveland Browns will introduce Eric Mangini. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Anquan Boldin rested his injured hamstring yesterday. Jeff Jagosinski fired as head football coach at Boston College. And Matt Stafford and Knowshon Moreno announced they are leaving Georgia to enter the NFL draft. No mention on, and there's two or three of these in the morning, there's no mention of the national championship game. There is no mention of Pac-Man Jones being released. Are you kidding me? Not even a mention that tonight Oklahoma is playing Florida for the national championship. And I guess I have to ask the listeners out there who are with us on the program today. I think you're interested because this is football country. Are you not interested? Will you not go out of your way to watch the game tonight? Now, I understand if you're out. I mean, there's a lot of high school activities tonight, whether it's basketball or wrestling or a swim meet or whatever the case may be. Will you just intentionally, I mean, you know, you're home, but you're not going to watch the game?
Oh, no, you're going to watch the game. I think that's a general feeling. And I just think it took a while. I think people are getting excited for this game, but it took until this morning, until you realize it's for all the marbles this morning. Just the lull, I think, killed the momentum.
The problem with waiting this long for it, guys, is it's almost like playing a football game, and then in the fourth quarter when the two-minute warning hits, you're like, all right, we'll see you guys in 3 hours. We'll finish up the last 2 minutes of the game. I mean, that's almost what it feels like. It's just too long of a break between the Big 12, between all the championship games,
and
then to play out all those bowls up until now is just...
I got the word you're looking for, Derek. It's anticlimactic.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to write that one.
No, that's not a special word. Who said that this morning?
Who'd
you hear that from?
I did not.
Oh, come on. Who'd you hear it from? You were watching TV, weren't you?
Did you even spell that, Daddy? Is that right?
That's not important. That's not important. Radio guys don't have to spell, and newspaper guys don't have to know how to pronounce. So that's what it all comes down to.
Doug, are you excited for the game?
Um, I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to watch the game tonight. But I think it's a responsibility of us to have to watch the game to be able to talk about it on the show tomorrow. And I hope it's entertaining. And it sounds like most of the country thinks Florida's going to win. This portion of the country thinks Oklahoma's going to win just by talking to people, looking at bowl sheets, talking to people that know things about stuff like that. They're telling us that Oklahoma is favored. I mean, not favored, but is the favorite. More people are rooting for Oklahoma, obviously, I would think, because it's Big 12 country, or at least not even rooting, thinking they're going to win, picking them to win in their bowl sheets, picking them to beat the spread, picking them to win this football game. And as far as am I interested or excited?
There you go.
I don't think I'm excited. I'm interested.
Okay, when you're looking at this game, whether you're going for Florida, whether you're going for Oklahoma, but if you're at a non-biased standpoint, I guess I would look at, well, why do people out there think that USC is the best team in all of the land? I think because they've got the most NFL prospects, right? They've got the most draft picks, correct?
Who the hell cares? Who cares? Seriously, who cares? I could care less about that. By the way, Todd Peterson expected to join us at the bottom of the hour here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. If you're watching USC just because they have the most pro prospects, then you aren't watching the football game for the right reason. I've never understood, well, but USC's the best team because they got the most pro prospects. Well, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of times Nebraska won football games over teams that had more pro prospects.
But, my point is this. When you're looking at the team, you're looking for the most talent, and everybody across the nation, and you saw that because the spread started at 1 and now is up to 4, 4.5 at places. So the money's going on Florida. That's obvious. Across the nation, the money's going on Florida.
Okay.
Well, I found this little tidbit from Mel Kiper.
Okay.
Mel Kiper, who I, one of the, obviously the respected draft guru and whatever, he points out, you look at offensive linemen, Lode Holt, Duke Robinson, John Cooper, tight end Jermaine Grisham, receivers Iglesias, Manuel Johnson, Quentin Chaney, defensive tackle Gerald McCoy,
these safety are all Nick Oklahoma Harris, players.
Sam Bradford, all Oklahoma players. With Florida, you have a lot of young guys. There's not many draft eligible standouts.
Okay, how did USC come into this?
I'm saying that's why people like USC. Why aren't people liking Oklahoma? You've got this list of guys. I think you can compare the two, can't you? And you look at Florida and go,
people like USC because that's the team from California. Oklahoma's just a team from the Midwest. It's just a team. I mean, you're from California. You're the best team from California. You're the best team on the West Coast. You're the best team west of Denver. You're the best team, from west of Denver. And from the Rocky Mountains on, you're the best team. That's where everybody's rooting, pretty much, for those schools. I mean, you may be a fan of BYU, but, you may be a fan of Washington State. Maybe a fan at Arizona, but it's just like rooting for the Yankees or the Dallas Cowboys or the Los Angeles Lakers or the Celtics. You've got a broad base all around the country. You can email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can call us, 1-888-455-ESPN.
John from Kearney has given us a call.
Good morning, John.
Morning, guys.
What's going on?
You know, the only reason USC is ranked up there, supposedly they have all the NFL players that go in the NFL. Okay, well, besides Reggie Bush and Troy Polamalu, let's see. Reggie Bush was in trouble with the law for getting additional benefits from his agent or whatever. Let's see, Carson Palmer, Leinart, let's see, injured, aren't good enough to play in the NFL, and, you look at all the other players just because they're the only team in L.A., that's the only reason they get all the glamour and glory.
Well, UCLA, which isn't good right now.
UCLA?
Which isn't good right now.
You got a coach who takes their team on canoe trips and plays the guitar in a sweater. Okay, that's really great. Where does that help them out in football? It doesn't at all.
I'm just saying they have another team in the city. But your point is correct.
So, I mean, if you were to put them in a decent conference in the SEC or the Big 12 or for that, you just put them in a decent conference, you know, granted, yeah, they walked all over the Big Ten. Everybody walks all over the Big Ten. And but you put them in a decent conference, they're going to be a mediocre football team.
You did say decent conference, so you didn't have to bring up the Big Ten there, John. Hey, thanks for the call. We sure
all
appreciate
right,
it. Well, here is the reason USC is ranked so high. Go back through football since the polls have really been all that people talk about since whenever, 1970. Why was Florida State in the top five for so many years? Because they could lose a game and stay there because they started the season so high because they continually win football games. That's why they are ranked in the top 10 or the top 5 or start one or two every single year, because they never lose. They lose one game a year, maybe. They don't lose the bowl game. That's why Florida State was there. That's why Miami was there. That's why Nebraska was there. That's why USC is there now. That's why teams like Utah, Boise State, TCU, they have to continue to go undefeated for a period of time. And I will tell you this right now, just because I brought up Utah. If Utah would go undefeated again next year, they will be playing for the national championship. Now, I don't know how much stuff they've got coming back, but they should be highly enough rated that that's not a problem. But you have to establish yourself as a program, and the University of Southern California has done that. The first time that Notre Dame, I mean, look where they had one nice season under Charlie Weiss, and wow, they were right up there the next season in the poll. If you have a program that can get that first good or great year, you're going to be in good shape. Don't tell me that if Nebraska goes 11-2 or 12-1 next year, that they won't be a top 10 team and in 2 years be positioned to win a national championship. Now, Nebraska or any other Big 12 team runs the table any year, they're going to be. I mean, because Kansas had that chance, Missouri had that chance. You know, Missouri came out of nowhere last year and were ranked number one. You got that chance out of a power conference because you're going to get a chance to play right. more big teams. But the reason USC, the whole point here, the reason USC is number one, because they're an established program and they don't lose. And until they lose two or three games in a year, they're not going to fall out of the top five.
I got you. And the reason I got on the USC is because I think that's the argument that a lot of people have because of the talent level. When I found that list of talent level and people expected to play at the next level, I question why the country would think Florida is a decided winner of this game.
Let's go back to the Debt Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Staying on topic, Mike in St. Paul is going to be up for this one here. He says, I think it says St. Paul. Let me double check. Whatever. Mike fires this off. Says, good morning, guys. Speaking about the lack of major interest in the game tonight, I think they've just stretched out the season too darn long. Bring back most of the bowls on New Year's Day and then hold the championship within a day or two after. Continuing the point, as he really emailed us twice, it is becoming anticlimactic. The major bowls are, because that was the word that Daddy used, remember, the major bowls are supposed to build up the championship. Buffalo, Connecticut, and Tulsa Ball State should be part of the build-up before the New Year's bowl games, not after the Rose, Cotton, Orange, Sugar, and Fiesta. Besides the schools involved in Nebraska's Turner-Gill factor, who the heck really cares? Let's get things in order. Mike, save that one. And then, because you used the word anticlimactic, Adam in Holdridge says, I think I know what Big Daddy got for Christmas. A word of the day calendar.
Oh! Oh yeah.
Yeah, baby. Well, we discussed that point. It definitely has. It is too long. And there is absolutely positively no reason. There's absolutely positively no reason. Just got an email that Calvin Johnson isn't bad. Calvin Johnson didn't go to USC, Chris. Duh. That was Mike Johnson, right? Never panned out. Or Williams, Mike Williams.
Mike Williams.
Yeah, never. Anyway, the point. There's still, I can't figure out, even if you drag it out, there is no reason the national championship game wasn't Tuesday night. And that's too long anyway. We could have been playing, we should have been playing New Year's Day games, New Year's Day, January 2nd. We're all done. They don't want to conflict with the
big boys.
With the big boys, but you know what? You still can play that national championship game on Saturday night because and make the pros play the early games just like they would on Sunday. I mean, not make, but I bet they would if you played the national championship. But problem is, Monday should have been the national championship at the latest. Well, the Cotton Bowl moved off New Year's Day. And all that's telling you is it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, haven't we heard that's one of the reasons that we don't have a playoff is because it would drag it out too long into the next semester?
Well, you're exactly right. That's one of the things. But again, depending on which school it is, let's face facts, having the game January 8th from that standpoint really sometimes might help because let's say Nebraska was playing in the national championship. No bowl preparations would really be affected because the team wouldn't take off till well after Christmas, which means you would be able to put all your focus into the finals week, dead week, finals week, and really kind of get into your bowl prep as soon as finals week was over, and then make your trip down and do all of that. And they were lucky enough with the January 1 bowl, but this is a full week later, a full week. It's insane.
Yeah, Florida, by the way, did start school on Monday. They're 4 days into their semester.
See, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're expected to be joined by Grand Island native and former Nebraska Cornhusker Todd Peterson. Yeah, he's former now because his eligibility's all used up. We're going to talk about his career. And, you know, Billy Callahan interviewed for the Jets job yesterday.
Oh, did we get to see how that went?
No. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell, "Food fight!"
From the moment we laced up our first pair of skates, we were hooked. Morning, night, and in our sleep. We play because once we hit the ice, nothing else matters. No problems, no hassles. Only hits and hat tricks. We play for the glory of the best game on earth. We play for the Tri-City Storm. The $5 ticket is back. Kids 12 and under and seniors 70 and over can watch the Storm for just $5. Catch two games this weekend. Saturday night presented by Thomas Stilga Mall and Sunday afternoon at 3:05 p.m. Storm Hockey presented by the Arrow.
Ormain Bank in Cozad is celebrating 125 years of excellent service to the ag and business community. Our branch is celebrating too. I'm Dave Higbee, First Bank and Trust, Clay Center. Hardly can believe it, but this is our silver anniversary. 25 years of service in Clay County and the surrounding area. You're invited to celebrate with us too. In fact, everybody, current and potential customers, are invited to stop at the bank and register for a 1 pound brick of silver to be given away. You'll be surprised at the value. We're First Bank and Trust, Clay Center, member FDIC.
Get into Indian Head Golf Course today for super savings on everything in our pro shop. Great savings on quality name brand golf equipment and clothes. Some marked down at clearance prices. Ask for Tom or Pat and make an offer. We've got to make space for the 2009 items, so no reasonable offer will be refused. It's the winter clearance sale going on now at Indian Head Golf Course Pro Shop, Grand Island. Indian Head Golf Course, where the fun never ends.
Home, a place where you can truly be yourself, feel comfortable, and share with loved ones. Isn't it time you come home? Home Real Estate is here to help you find your dream home. Whether you're looking for commercial or residential, Home Real Estate is ready to spend the time with you to find the perfect match. Finding you the right home at the right price is our top priority. Get a free market analysis. Second in Burlington in downtown Hastings. Call 402-461-6930 or see us online, homehastings.com. Relax, you're at home. Home Real Estate.
This Sunday, it's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and we'll bring you a special doubleheader on Westwood One. First, two NFC East rivals face off when Donovan McNabb and the Philadelphia Eagles head up the New Jersey Turnpike to take on Eli Manning's New York Giants. Then, in part two, Phillip Rivers and the red-hot San Diego Chargers tangle with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their number one-rated defense. The NFL playoffs and Super Bowl 43 are right here.
Catch all the NFL playoff action on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Here it comes again for the 32nd year, the amazing Camper and Boat Show, all under the roof of the Grand Island Fauna Park and Heartland Expo Center. When? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January 9, 10, and 11. You won't believe the number of all new campers and boats from the area's leading RV dealers. Eagle Crest, Rich & Sons, Dykeman's Camper Place. Then add to that four of Nebraska's finest boat dealers. Noon to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 5 on Sunday. The huge RV and Boat Expo, Fauna Park, Grand Island, January 9, 10, and 11.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some partial sun developing during the day today with high temperature around the lower 50s. South winds will stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, lows around 29 degrees as winds stay out of the south. Highs reach the low 40s Friday with falling temperatures. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 36.
Hey.
Sunday Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the program. We are scheduled to talk with Todd Peterson on the program today. Tomorrow, in the Little Nebraska Men's Basketball with Paul Volander of the Huskers as they get ready to open up Big 12 play against Missouri on a Saturday afternoon. Game televised, ESPN The Deuce will be joining us. Let's go to the phone lines right now at 1-888-455-ESPN. Rich has been standing by from Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was listening to your show yesterday, and you're talking about the gap in between the last time they played till the championship game and also setting up a playoff situation. What do you think about using the BCS to set it up in like an 8-team format with like wrestling? You know, your number one plays your number eight, your number two plays your number seven, and that's only three games for the championship game. And there's more than that between your last game and the championship game.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Rich, and I guess that's one of the that's one of the formulas that people have talked to quite a bit about. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's one of the many scenarios, and again, nothing they do is going to be perfect. And that's the one thing that has to be understood. Because eight teams, four teams, two teams, somebody feels that they're going to be left out. But he's saying use the BCS for the eight. And then they're still playing in the BCS bowl games right now, but get them earlier and then continue that through these. And that's obviously one of the scenarios out there.
Well, I'm sorry, Derek. I just think of everybody that's against. I just can't believe that there can be that many presidents, I guess, or the ones that are against this deal. How many does it affect? And I still, that's my point. It doesn't affect anybody when it gets down to the end. It affects four of those votes. The rest of them should be all in favor of it.
We got Ruben from Kearney on the line, guys.
Ruben, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
How's it going, guys? I just wanted to say hi to Melissa again up front.
she's still here.
Yeah, I want a playoff. And what you were talking about, Utah winning next year, they won't play for a national title. It depends on their non-conference schedule. And I haven't looked at the non-conference schedule, but I don't think it's that tough to put them in a title game. Maybe a BCS bowl game again, but not a title game.
Well, I think Doug's point was he's either going to establish themselves, and with a three rating this year, they look to probably end up in the top six or seven, I guess, going into next year, Ruben. And I think that's where they would start at. And with the attrition throughout the college football season, they would be, when you start off 25th, You can't move up to number one or two. When you start at 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, you can move up. Thanks for the phone call, Ruben.
What happened to TCU a couple years ago, though?
Well, they hadn't established themselves. Once again, I think that's the point. Once you have that season that puts you on the map and puts you in the landscape and puts you in the initial conversation, you may have that chance. But you're pretty much from the outside looking in if you don't.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one, guys.
All right, take care. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN.
You go back, Doug, and a lot has to do with the conference you play in, too, and you brought that point up. But, you know, you go back to John's point about everybody rolls over the Pac-10. Well, Oklahoma State didn't roll over the Pac-10 in the bowl game. I think the Pac-10, obviously, during the bowl games, has stood up and kind of made a statement of its own mark. And maybe they get back into the conversation a little bit, but, boy, it's tough. It's very difficult to look at USC and say there's anybody else in that conference when you got, I guess you say Oregon State, I guess you say Oregon, and you have people think Arizona State, these are good quality teams. Now, that's a debate for next year, I think, because I don't think they performed where everybody thought they were this year.
Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. John chimes in, I must root for Oklahoma tonight. The strength coach is from my hometown of Harvard. Second best coach to come from Harvard behind Rick Rath. Sincerely, John Rath. And I believe that's Jerry Schmidt, if I've got my information right. I hope that is correct, John. Thanks so much, and boy, You know what? That's pretty close. Rick Rath. You know, he's in the top three. There's no doubt about it. I still love that. I still love this story that came out of Husker camp with Colton Kaler from Harvard and Bo Pelini and the coaches thinking he actually went to the University of Harvard and instead of Harvard, Nebraska, and that went on for quite some time. By the way, Harvard basketball upsetting Boston College last night, who beat North Carolina just the last game out. So if that happens in football, it all gets crazy. Speaking of football, we are pleased to be joined by one of our favorite guests over the last 4 or 5 years, and of course coming out of Grand Island Central Catholic and making the third city very proud of Grand Island is Todd Peterson, the wide receiver from the Huskers, who finished up his career with a great Gator Bowl and helped the Huskers to that victory. And Todd, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, thanks for having me back, fellas.
Well, what do you do now that you know you really don't have to go to class anymore, right?
That's a good question. I actually had a similar radio interview I was supposed to do yesterday and slept through it and had my phone on silent.
That is so great.
You guys are lucky you caught me.
I know that is so great because I actually heard about that. So, we feel honored that you're taking care of us little guys today. We sure appreciate that. Let's take a look now that the dust has settled a little bit and you guys, a lot of people think, have reestablished the program, the senior class headed in the right direction. Just what was the feeling walking off the field after coming from behind and getting that win in the Gator Bowl?
It was a sense of accomplishment. You know, I mean, we've been through a lot in this past year, and we did a lot of things we wanted to do. We didn't do everything. And to say that we've reestablished the program is probably a long shot, but we got it headed in the right direction, you know. And it's really going to depend on what happens from here on out, I think, how we're remembered as this team this year. But we got things going in the right direction, and we got it started, and that's all we could do this year.
Todd, I guess take us back to the middle of the season, and probably the low point, I got to think, was after the Missouri, just call it a beatdown, which I think you'll agree with that. What was said, and who said it at that point, to keep people on track?
I just remember, the one thing I remember about that game was Coach Pelini's attitude after the game. You know, he came in the locker room and he took full blame for the loss, which as a competitor, as a player, playing for a coach, you know, I didn't want to hear that. That kind of lit a fire underneath me. And, I mean, how can this guy who didn't even set foot on the field say that this game was his fault, you know, that it was his fault that we got beat so bad? Obviously, we weren't, you know, well-prepared enough, but, I mean, most of that's got to fall on the players. Yeah, the coach has to motivate. Yeah, he's got to come up with a good game plan, but, I mean, once you step in between the stripes, it's on your own shoulders. And I know that motivated me to work harder, and we ended up making a lot of schematical changes in our offense and the way we did things, and all those things helped out. But I think just really refocusing as a team and coming back, you know, that next week you say there's no moral victories, and we were disappointed to lose down at Lubbock, but I know nobody gave us a shot. And when we came back and played that way, even though we didn't get the victory and we were still disappointed, it just showed me that this team had character that we hadn't had in the past and that we weren't going to fold the tent after a tough loss.
Todd Peterson, Nebraska wide receiver, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also, the one thing that I guess no matter what is going to hang with this senior class is the name Bill Callahan, and I know we're going to get to that here in the interview because this is what I hear all the time, and this is what Nebraska fans were talking about so much when Bo Pelini was hired. And I guess the question can be asked now. Many people thought that there were some players on the team last year, and let's take a Texas Tech, let's take an Oklahoma, for instance, this year, where you guys fell behind, but then played a whole lot better as the game progressed. And last year, that just didn't happen. Why was that? And how much, I guess, truth to the rumor was there that some players, you know, last year just kind of let the second half, once you were behind, that was it?
I mean, it's hard to say that some of your teammates quit or whatever, and looking back on that, you know, you never like to say that, but, I mean, there was one game I remember where Coach Gilmore told us, you know, turn on the film of that defense and of the special teams and watch, because you guys have teammates out there that aren't playing their hardest. And it was just gut-wrenching. It was sick for me, you know. Looking back on it now, I wish, you know, more of us would have stepped up and taken a leadership role then to, you know, say that that's not acceptable. But that's one thing that when we had that changing of the guard and us as a group of seniors this year, that was the one thing we weren't going to stand for, you know, because we're not the most talented team in the nation, let alone the Big 12, but we're not going to go out there and not play hard, because that's a disservice to everyone in the state, to everyone that's ever put on the uniform, to everyone that loves Husker football. Going out there and not giving your all is completely unacceptable.
And, Todd, was there a point then, and I would have to think it would have been in the off season, where that attitude changed, or where these specific players were either talked to by the coaches or the players, or somebody head slapped them in the weight room? I mean, was there a specific point that there was a, you could say, you know what, this isn't going to happen again?
It's hard to boil it down to one specific point, but I've looked back a lot, and I think we've matured a lot as a team through our winter conditioning last year, getting to know our new coaches and our new strength staff. Because, I mean, I got to credit Coach Dobson and Coach James Dobson and his staff, because they came in and they didn't put up with anything. If you weren't coming in to work hard every day and give your best, you know, in January and February when nobody's watching you, then you weren't going to do your best when everybody was watching you, when the lights were on. And they put that mindset into us from, you know, January 1 when we started off. And I think that paid off a lot, because, like I say, I think we matured so much as a team in the offseason.
Todd Peterson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Todd, you mentioned leadership roles, and you mentioned people stepping up into those leadership roles. I believe the Wednesday before the bowl game, it was Zach Potter that stood up and said, "Hey, guys, Coach Pelini's had our backs a lot. With the passing of their father, it's time for us to take some accountability and have their backs." I didn't know that Zach Potter was that kind of leader. Did you guys know he was that kind of leader?
I mean, he's a guy that leads by example, and he can be a vocal guy as well when he knows he needs to step up. That kind of caught me off guard when he stood up and said that, because, you know, it wasn't something that I had given, you know, that much thought to. Obviously, I knew our coaches were hurting, and I was praying for them and hoping everything would work out right with their family. But when he got up and you know, presented that idea, I didn't think there was anything better we could do for our coaches, because, you know, obviously both Bo and Carl are great men, and they were raised by a great man, and Anthony Pelini. And I actually got a chance to just meet him real quickly. I think it might have been after our first game this year, but I think just with everything Bo's done for us as a team and some of our individual players who have had struggles throughout the past year, I mean, we wanted to have his back, and we wanted to reciprocate the things that he showed us all year.
Todd Peterson with us tonight, the national championship game, and Oklahoma showed you guys what they had. Do you watch the game tonight? Do you root for Oklahoma? What's your interest in is Oklahoma? I mean, is that, you haven't obviously had a chance to play Florida, so I'm guessing you know how good they are. Just what's your thoughts on the game tonight?
Well, I'll watch it as a football fan, you know, and you know, part of me will definitely root for Oklahoma, just because, you know, everyone's been kind of bashing on the Big 12 and our defenses and some of the performances we've had so far in the bowls. So, you know, to have them come through and win would be big for the conference. But most of all, I'm just excited to see the football game, because there's going to be some great athletes out there, and you know, the national championship game is always exciting.
Todd, what's next for you? You got a chance to play any more football?
I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to stick around here in Lincoln for this next semester, take a couple light graduate courses, and keep training. And, you know, God willing, if I can keep playing football, that'd be awesome. It'd be a dream come true. But if that doesn't work out for me, I'm going to move on and start chiropractic school probably next fall.
Todd Peterson with us for just another minute here. We've brought this up in the past about the whole being a Nebraska kid playing for the Huskers, and so many more Nebraska kids stepped in and had to fill some roles this year, from Tyler Wertman to Lance Thorell to, as we mentioned, Colton from Harvard just a little bit ago, and you know, obviously the Omaha and Lincoln kids. Did you, as the season progressed, continue to have a connection here? What's the status of Nebraska kids at Nebraska right now?
I mean, I think it's similar to how it's always been, because we take so much pride in this university and the football team that we're going to come. You know, I think most kids in Nebraska that play football would do just about anything to come here and suit up and get on that field and contribute in just about any way. I know my own roommate, Jake Wesch, lives across the hallway from me, could have gone to small school somewhere and probably been quarterback or an athlete or done something, but he came here, you know, did kickoffs for a while, and for the greater majority of his upperclassmen years, all he's done is hold for field goals, but he's loved it, you know, and he's lived it up, and he's made some big plays on some fakes, and I don't think he would change anything if he could have, and I know it's the same for most of the guys you mentioned.
Todd, I guess when you're talking about big moments throughout your senior year, obviously team-wise, I got to think the Alex Henry field goal was really exciting for everybody. But just personally for you, give us two highlights from this year.
The Gator Bowl was definitely a highlight that I'll always remember. You know, going out your last game with a win like that, and having so much fun with Nate and myself, both scoring touchdowns. We've been through a lot together, and we've had so much fun. I couldn't imagine a better way to go out there. And other than that, you know, the Colorado game, not just Alex's kick, but the interception there at the end. And just, I said it so many times, there's one, somebody got a photo that's just captures all the excitement in that stadium at that one time. It's Sue getting ready to spike the ball into the chain link fence.
Yeah.
You see Stein Cooley running from behind, already got his helmet off in the air, just going nuts. And you see Cody Hawkins back there sitting on the ground just dejected. It's just, it captures that moment and the excitement that we had as a football team perfectly.
Did you guys have any fun in Jacksonville?
Yeah, we had a little fun. We got to go down to the beach, and there's just a strip of different clubs and things along the beach there that we got to go see, you know. Went to the zoo there for a little while and ended up getting to go golfing afterwards. We had a lot of fun down there.
You think Sue's coming back?
I would hope so, just for the sake of this football team, because he's a heck of a football player. I sure wouldn't want to try to block him.
Todd, before we how hurt is Ty Steinkuhler's back, and how much pain did he battle this year?
I mean, just watching him battle through fall camp, you know, I mean, just the pain he went through to get on the practice field and practice before the season that even started is just a testament to his work ethic and his dedication. But he's battled through it all year, and there's one thing you can't deny about Stein, it's his drive and his work ethic.
Todd Peterson, Grand Island Central Catholic. Grand Island backed this kid, and so did Central Nebraska and all the state, and obviously was the best wide receiver on this team, no matter what Nate Swift says. Todd, we've got, as we tell a lot of folks, we've got your number now, so you're screwed.
Uh-oh.
what's your favorite radio show in the state, Todd?
Oh, it's got to be Doug and Daddy.
Todd Peterson, best Husker ever. Have a great day. Enjoy the semester, and hope to run into you again real soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
I'll see you, Lakeshore. I owe you the first one.
Todd,
yep.
Todd Peterson on the Doug and Daddy show. Yeah, you got to remember, you know what? It's amazing, but you know what? They're people and they're kids, and they're getting ready to move on to their life, too. And it's, you know, you got to be happy for them the way things ended up, because good God, look at some of the messes that are out there.
Well, look at a year ago. And there's the feeling coming off the season to a year. I mean, you're going into your senior year going, what have we done here? We've got to fix something. And then the elation.
Well, you brought in some people that gave you the ability to change. You can't change until you change. I mean,
right.
That sounds crazy to say, but
gotcha.
You know, you have change had to start somewhere, and it was a positive change. And now, you know what? You got to keep it going this way. Remember, there's not, of all these 100-and-some football players, I'm sure not everybody is a fan of Bo Pelini. I mean, not everybody. I'm sure that most of them are, because he's heading them in the right direction and they want to win. But let's make sure that things continue. Let's see what happens as next year rolls around. But you know what? It's fun, and it's something to look forward to each and every week when the Huskers roll around. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Fire off your thoughts to the Dent Popper inbox. We've got another Sun Heat system that we're giving away tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show for the Hot Topic. Had a couple more rain in today. So Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper, home of the Armor Lining, ready to see you and get you ready for 2009. Don't let life beat your vehicles around. Come in and see the Dent Popper.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
Hi, is this where I sign in for the Worldwide Interglobal Micro Macro Economic Conference?
Yes, but the Worldwide Interglobal Micro Macro Economic Conference is a gathering of leading financial experts, and you seem to be a burrito.
Actually, I'm the cheesy double beef burrito from Taco Bell.
You do sound delectable. But can you describe your economic theory?
7 words. Double the beef for only 89 cents.
Double the beef for only 89 cents?
How's that for a bailout plan?
My apologies, Mr. Cheesy Double Beef Burrito. You're clearly one of the great economic thinkers of our time.
Apology accepted.
By the way, double the beef for only 89 cents is actually 8 words.
Yeah, I was never good with numbers.
Taco Bell's cheesy double beef burrito. A double portion of seasoned beef smothered in warm, melty nacho cheese sauce. It's double the beef for only 89 cents. Think outside the bun. Double the beef compared to Burrito Supreme. At participating locations, prices may vary, tax extra.
The BCS National Championship on ESPN Radio.
Throws to the left, throws in zone.
A couple of supercharged offenses go head-to-head in Miami as the number one-ranked Oklahoma Sooners face the number two-ranked Florida Gators. The BCS National Championship.
Catch all the action Thursday night at 6:15 on ESPN Radio.
Pillars of the past and future of the Kansas City Royals. Frank White, Alex Gordon, Caravan to Skeeter Barnes, Tuesday, January 13th. Join Doug and Daddy at Skeeter's for an autograph party, meet and greet, and live broadcast from 5 to 7. Bring the family out for Skeeter Barnes specials for the kids and great food for everyone. The Winter Royals Caravan at Skeeter Barnes, the only stop in the Tri-Cities this year. Brought to you by ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, January 13th.
Every week, there's a new webcast featuring Tri-City Storm coach Tom Rudrud and hosted by the arena voice of the Storm, Derek Stinson. Brought to you by ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM. Click on ESPNSuperstation.com to see the Tri-City Storm Coach's Corner webcast.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some partial sun developing during the day today with high temperature around the lower 50s. South winds will stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, lows around 29 degrees as winds stay out of the south. Highs reach the low 40s Friday with falling temperatures. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 36.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Again, don't forget Kansas City Royals Caravan with Alex Gordon, Frank White. Announcer Joel Goldberg, Slugger, and many others will be coming to Skeeter Barnes next Tuesday from 6 to 7. We'll have a special Doug and Daddy show that night from 5 to 7. We'll talk with those Royals, and we'll get you ready. Again, it's all for you, the fans. Come out, meet, take pictures, get autographs. Probably limit that to one per person, but bring the kids out. See Alex Gordon, see Slugger, and, of course, for some of the folks our age and a little older, Frank White, the Royals Hall of Famer, will be there. The Winter Royals Caravan at Skeeter Barnes next Tuesday from 6 to 7. It's the only stop at the Tri-Cities this year, so be sure and come out and see us. Utah's football schedule, by the way, for the next couple of years, not to include the Mountain West games that are out, but outside of their conference, their non-conference games, Utah State at home, at San Jose State, at Oregon, Louisville. The following year, Iowa State on the road, San Jose State at home, and then late in the year at Notre Dame.
Okay. I think
you run that. That's respectable. I mean, those aren't juggernauts, but it's not their fault. Louisville has slipped down a little bit. Oregon is going to be more than a test on the road. I mean, as some of the folks pointed out about Utah this year, they still went into Michigan and won on opening day. That's still a big win, even though Michigan's season did not turn out that well. That's, you know, they did what they had to do. They have teams on their schedule. And again, when you have to schedule so far out, who the heck knows what Tennessee and Nebraska are going to have in 2017? That sounds good when it was scheduled 2 years ago. Who knows what Wyoming's going to have in 3 years? Maybe they're the conference champ. You don't know. I mean, we know that Arkansas, well, I mean, we know about some of these teams. But, again, schools that aren't directional, you've got a chance to play and could be good at any time. I mean, seriously, 2010, who's going to be better? Iowa State, San Jose State, or Notre Dame?
I'm going to say Notre Dame.
Okay.
1-888-455-ESPN.
Fired off to the Dent Popper inbox. Either way, you could be eligible for a Sunheat space system from Motorsports and the Doug and Daddy Show. Tom Rathman, Daddy, who I know you are efforting to have on the program, is back in as the San Francisco 49ers running backs coach.
Staying right around home.
Under Mike Singletary. Of course, everybody knows that he played for the Niners, won two Super Bowls. He was their running back coach from 97 to 02 with Steve Mariucci. He went with him to Detroit, mistake, and then spent the last two seasons in the same job with Oakland. So there you go.
think at one time, you know, a lot of people had him up for that Oakland job when Tom Cable was hired during the year, and obviously stayed on there.
What if
then,
Tom Cable is named the head coach at Oakland?
You know what? Tough to argue with what he did, is it not? Tough to argue going across the country with absolutely crapola to play for and beating Tampa Bay.
I know.
And
then you throw up, how can you play at home and not get a first down against Atlanta in the first half? I mean, they'd had its highs and lows as much as anybody this season did. There's still some job openings out there, but who wants them? Detroit, St. Louis, Oakland? Yeah. The Hastings College basketball teams are hitting the wrong side of the win column right now. Both lost to Concordia last night. This is the third straight conference loss for the Hastings women, and that hasn't happened in a long, long time. 81-75, the 12th-ranked Concordia. The men fall 79-61. The wrestling team loses at Dakota Wesleyan 19-16. It was tied going into the last match, and Dakota Wesleyan wins it, but Hastings College had to forfeit at 133 pounds, and anytime you have to do that in a duel, it's just really, really going to kill you. That's 6 points. They lose by three, and there you go. So that's what went on last night for Hastings College. They get ready for the Hastings College Open coming up this Saturday. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got a variety of other things to get to. I want to invite you to get to the email, and I want to get Daddy's thoughts here on the playoffs as well in the NFL back after this.
I don't think this is quite normal.
I heard it might even put hair on your chest.
See, I never dreamed it could be that exciting.
We'll leave it tuned in and keep someone listening here all the time.
More excitement coming up next when the Doug and Daddy Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
What do you think? Did that sound convincing?
Two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Two national title winning coaches. One of the best matchups in college football history. Tonight on Fox, it's the FedEx BCS National Championship. Tim Tebow and the Florida Gators face off against Sam Bradford and the Oklahoma Sooners. This may not just be the game of the year. It may be the game of a lifetime. Number 2 Florida versus number 1 Oklahoma. Tonight at 7:30. Only on Fox.
I wouldn't trade my work partner for nothing. That fat boy is steady, reliable, never takes a break. And whenever we're working in a tight spot, I can always count on the fat boy to have gas.
The new fat boy fuel tank from Burns-O-Matic. 20% more fuel, a lower profile, and green key technology for easier recycling. Check out the fat boy. You can win the ultimate outdoor experience. Details and official rules at burnsomatic.com. No purchase necessary ends March 31st, 2009. Must be legal U.S. resident and 18 years or older to win.
Pillars of the past and future of the Kansas City Royals. Frank White, Alex Gordon, Caravan to Skeeter Barnes, Tuesday, January 13th. Join Doug and Daddy at Skeeter's for an autograph party, meet and greet, and live broadcast from 5 to 7. Bring the family out for Skeeter Barnes specials for the kids and great food for everyone. The Winter Royals Caravan at Skeeter Barnes, the only stop in the Tri-Cities this year. Brought to you by ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 at Skeeter Barnes in Kearney, January 13th.
If you don't know how to make that person driving by want to stop and come into your business, if you don't know how to make that person who needs your service dial your phone number, you're in danger of being out of business. If you don't know where to find the answers to these challenges, log on to marketingfirepower.info for the information you need to turn consumers into customers and succeed in any economy. Log on to marketingfirepower.info today. Your business will succeed with marketingfirepower.info.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some partial sun developing during the day today with high temperature around the lower 50s. South winds will stay at 5 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies, lows around 29 degrees as winds stay out of the south. Highs reach the low 40s Friday with falling temperatures. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 36.
Our old buddy Ken fires off to the Dad Popper inbox because he has a New Year's wish list, Daddy. Kind of touches on everything. He says, one, Velcro will no longer be allowed in baseball batting gloves. This will allow Kansas City Royals games to end 15 minutes earlier. The word long will no longer be used to describe basketball players. You know, long. Right elbow, left elbow will also be banned from basketball broadcasting. He turned it up and walk-off will be banned from baseball broadcasts. Coach him up and work him out will no longer be in football jargon. Ken.
Always appreciate the emails. Thanks, Ken.
Daddy, NFL playoffs, you're wanting to know who I think the best team is right now. You know, I thought Pittsburgh, and then we see how they went into the postseason here, just going over some stats, and they really didn't play that well down the stretch. Who do you think?
Well, I said Philadelphia during the break. I just think they're on a roll right now. The way they were able to, you know, get through the last part of the season. So many good things. You know, it seems to be a whole lot of good things have to happen to a team to get them on a roll, like the Giants last year. Philadelphia seems to be that team for me that had so many good things. They shouldn't even be here.
Well, Philadelphia,
that made people lose. They shouldn't be there.
Philadelphia was a team I thought at the beginning of the year would make the playoffs and had a shot, and I was kind of tried to stick with them in that tough division all year long. And when they tied Cincinnati, that was forget about this. It's over. And I don't know what to think about them. But the one thing I do know, and that I will be interested to find out about all the football this weekend, this is where we find out the future of the New York Giants. Do they become the next dynasty in the National Football League? Do they replace the Patriots in that position? Do they go out? They are favored in this game, just like Tennessee is favored, and everybody loves Baltimore and Philadelphia, so that ought to tell you something. But we will find out if the Giants go out, take care of business, win this game 20-10, 24-13, go out and put the beat down and hold Brian Westbrook in check in this football game, because I'm still not convinced the passing game of the Eagles is going to go out and beat you.
Interesting. I think there's so many different ways you can break down every single game, but it's interesting. You get the Giants back on a roll, and they could be that team. You look at the Tennessee-Baltimore game, which you say everybody's on Baltimore. Interesting stat I found. 15 games Kerry Collins has started. He has been sacked 8 times. A mere 8 times. That's unbelievable. Because
sounds like Sam Bradford going into tonight. Everybody just assumes he's going to get hit. Didn't we hear at Big 12 Media Days this could be the best O-line in the history of college football? I think that's where it comes down. I think Florida's going to be surprised when they can't get to Sam Bradford. I think that's going to be the key to this football game. Because I don't think Tim Tebow can beat you down the field either. Not unless they're running all over you, and then he can, you know, play action you to death. Two quick things before we get out of here, before we make our prediction. Right now, Tony, here are your lines going into the weekend. Tennessee favored by 3 over Baltimore. Carolina favored by 10 over Arizona. New York favored by 4.5 over Philadelphia. And Pittsburgh is 6-6.5 over San Diego. All the home teams are favorites by at least a field goal or more. Much different than last week.
Well, historically, this is a round in which favorites have covered historically. So taking that into consideration, if there's a team out there, as well as you can say San Diego's playing, and I know they played a heck of a game in cold weather in Pittsburgh earlier in the year, or not that all that long ago, to go back in there, it's a different animal. I think the four home teams probably take care of business. Plus, with Tennessee, you're getting the two guys in Vandenbosch and Haynesworth back, supposedly close to 100%.
Vandenbosch more than Haynesworth, so we'll find out. Predictions tomorrow from Daddy, because he's winding down Chance. Well, what do you need to get? You need to finish about 22-0 to get to 500?
Yeah, 28.
It's our final email of the Doug and Daddy Show today. Lucas in Kearney says, trickeration. That is a word that should also be banned from any football broadcast. Trickeration. Tony, tonight, it's Florida, it's Oklahoma. Who was the last? Who's Oklahoma 702 points broke which team's record?
1905 Army. All right.
Which Nebraska team scored 680 some points?
Oh. 90.
Yeah, you don't know. Okay. All right.
You know what? I think Oklahoma wins this game, and I'm using my Mel Kiper logic. I think they got better players. I think they win the game, and I'm not sure it's that close. I think the offense gets rolling much earlier than Texas did. They put up 60 the last five or six. You know what? I don't think they'll put up 60, but I'd say something like 45 to 25.
These things always scare me because I want Oklahoma to win, and so I know what that means. I just don't think Florida can put up the points Oklahoma does. These national championship games always seem to be a little bit lower scoring. I'll take Oklahoma to win this ball game 38-33. We will see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.